Now, boilers and accessories where pumps, heat circulating pumps, steam for sterilization and laundry, this is the hot water supply normally you require. Water supply requirement on an average is 400 to 650 liters per bed per day. The source can be municipal, tube well, storage, underground, overhead. And the filtration system, bleaching powder for chlorination of the water, RO system for dialysis, proper covering provision should be there for storage tanks, pump rooms and pumps. One has to do the proper water analysis by physical, chemical properties of this water, and they should be as per the standards given by the authorities who are experts in this field. Bacteriologically, it should be absolutely fit for the consumption, that means it should be bacteria free. So this is in conclusion, or in short one can say, in summary, these are the things one has to look into for water supply of the hospital. Now let's understand the other important aspect of environmental criteria for a hospital. Today there is a green revolution occurring because of the global warming and lot of problems of the environmental degradation that is occurring due to deforestation and the lot of pollution that is occurring all over. So for a hospital also one should see to it that it not only improves the environmental conditions, but also it's a soothing to eye of the patients who are mentally disturbed. So landscaping and horticulture is an important aspect of the engineering department. The benefits of natural environments within the hospitals, if we see, one is psychologically, as the interacting socially assist recovery of the patients. When you are interacting socially in the green environment of the parks and well landscape area around the hospital, where patients can, those who are ambulatory patients can go and chit chat with their other patients who may become friends. So it's psychologically it's very good. Then there are social benefits of interpersonal interactions that can occur there, because everyone needs recreation and social support ultimately. So emotionally they will be much more happy, their mood will get elevated, and this will also help in their recovery faster. Landscape grounds, planted areas in front of the main entrance, where when the patients are entering they should not feel they are going to something like jail. They are going in a good environment, they should feel. The front porches and porch roofs, the entry gardens, courtyards, overhangs, roof gardens, etc. should be there, whereby people can enjoy and like the environment even though they are in a hospital. In fact, earlier days hospitals were only like four white walls, there were no gardens and all, so it was a bit more depressing in a way, which nowadays people are modifying it and creating a nice environment in and around the hospital. There should be even meditation gardens where people can go and meditate. That also will give a lot of relaxation, and the worries of these patients who are all the time worried for their health, for their complications that are there and how they will become all right. The financial burden is also there, they have to think about their family. So when they go for meditation in such meditation gardens, it is definitely going to help and improve these patients mentally, psychologically, emotionally, and by that even physical aspects will become all right faster. There can be edible gardens where they can go and eat the natural fruits, which are also good antioxidants they provide. There can be viewing gardens from their hospital rooms when they are sedentary. They can view these gardens and then feel nice about it. Now let's understand, ultimately hospital is an organization. Like any other organization, one has to administer even hospitals very well. Cost one has to manage. One has to have the right kind of skilled people in the hospital, the right kind of management done where planning, organizing, directing, leading, staffing, controlling, all these functions of management will come even to run a hospital. So let's understand a little bit about basics of administration and general management as far as the hospital is concerned. Although we are not going to go into very much details about this, because these topics you will learn in any of the management subjects that you learn. You must have learned about the Henry Fayolle, who is considered to be the father of administrative management. He has given us 14 principles of management as far as the administration is concerned for any organization. These 14 principles are well known. As you know, some are like division of labor, where specialization is concerned. It will lead to specialization in that particular work, where that part of labor some people are doing, other part is doing, is done by some other people who are having little more skill in that, and they will become more expert in that particular field. Then authority and responsibility, as you know, both will go together. Without authority, one cannot be held responsible for anything, and then accountable. So one should have the right kind of authority powers with oneself to fulfill the responsibility, and ultimately authority may be given to somebody, but not the responsibility and accountability. Then there are other factors like union strength, spread the corps, then there should be scalar chain, preferably one supervisor for one person who will give the order. Order should go from up down. The communication also should be like that as far as possible. There should be, all the people should be having the good amount of remuneration so that they are motivated to work properly. They are able to take care of their family and children and all the requirements, so that they are happily working in the hospital. So proper remuneration, they should be kept on a permanent basis. They should not be on the contractual basis, whereby they have got the ownership of that and they will work more responsibly. There should be equity for the meritorious work. So accordingly, one should not feel that there is any injustice done to them. So these are some of the principles. Then union is strength. One should be able to mingle with each other, all the staff, and even trade union should be allowed and encouraged. So this is what's happening as far as the administration is concerned. So these are some of the important principles of given by the Fayolle. Now planning. What is planning? It is nothing but to look ahead and ask 5 questions. 5 W's and 1 H, we say. What exactly we want to achieve? So one should have the vision and mission statement. Where we are going from now to then, so short term, long term, medium term planning should be there. Why we want this, so what is the aim or purpose, what is the goal of this hospital? When we are going to do this, so for everything that you want to do, there should be a time bar, so that it is being done effectively and efficiently at the right time. There is no dilly-dally, no convalescence occurring among the staff. And how, what is the process, how we are going to achieve this? So these are the W's and Y's one has to understand. H, so where we are and where we want to go, that's the bridge which should be fulfilled, and that's by planning. One has to forecast things based on the, what's the environmental condition, what are the opportunities and strengths and weaknesses of your opportunities and threats outside, and strengths and weaknesses of your internal resources. Based on that, you think about doing the market survey and other things. The present trends and all will tell you, and accordingly you can plan for future what should be done. As far as the decision making is concerned, is very important, because one has to decide what exactly we want to do, and that for that one should know what exactly is the problem or what exactly we want to do further. So define the problem, find out the various solutions, alternatives, prioritize the problem, and then find out the various alternatives for that. see the pros and cons of each and every alternative, find the most optimum, most suitable alternative and implement it, and then monitor it and then see if it is working or not. If it is not, then think of another solution, and that's how brainstorming, Delphi technique, various things are there which can help you, and then accordingly take proper decisions, managerial decisions. Once you have done that, you will have to organize the things properly. So for that you should know organization structure of a hospital, where you are going to have the different departments to take care of different things. For example, the medical director will be there at the helm, medical superintendent will help him, there will be nursing director or the matron under her, there will be other assistant nurse matron, and then staff nurse and ward nurse and various trainee nurse, etc. So this is how you define the job of each and every person while organizing the hospital structure. So defining the job, defining the roles and responsibilities of people, who is going to report to him, and ultimately how the hospital is going to run smoothly, that you have to think based on the requirement of the hospital, based on your vision and mission statement, based on your plans, based on what facilities and specialties you are going to have. You will have to have your organization structure. So that's what will come in your organizing. Then come staffing. Once you have thought about that, we want to have this many facilities for our hospital, this is how our organizational structure will look like. Who will be at the head, who will be the next person to whom, who will report, what will be the roles and responsibilities and authority relationships among them. Then you can find out what's the manpower required to do all this. So what you need is staffing. So for that you will have to have the acquisition of the staff. So recruitment, selection will be there. Then once you have acquired them, you will need to remunerate them. So compensation and benefits will come there. Once you start remunerating, if they are happy with that or not, we have to motivate them. So motivation is a part of HR function, staffing. So you may have to transfer them, promote them based on their skills, based on their upgradation needed, as the number of years of experience increase or the skills they have acquired. So promotion, transfer. You will have to regularly check the performance of these people, and based on that you can give them increment, the performance link pay, etc. So performance appraisal. And finally somebody retires, so you will have to give them retirement benefits, superannuation, etc. Or somebody is resigning, so for that also you will have to look into. So employee turnover you will have to look into for that. So acquisition, remunerating, maintaining, and finally dispersing also one has to look into. So the functioning of HR or staffing in fact starts before the operation of the hospital starts, because initially you may have few people whom you will have to recruit in a way, who will be the chief of the hospital, entrepreneurs, who will be the financiers of the hospital, who will be some of the engineers of the hospital, who will be helping you in planning the building, planning the departments, planning how to go about it, engineering, electrical engineer, water supply engineer, all these things will be needed at the planning stage itself. Nursing matron also will be required, so that she will guide you how the wards will be maintained, how much nurses will be required, and gradually they will start recruiting. So the staffing function is very, very essential, because ultimately whatever best equipments you have got, unless you have got the right skilled manpower, you are not going to function well, because ultimately it is the personal touch, the tender loving care that the patient gets from the hospital. So best of the environment with a beautiful facade and gardens, best of the equipment with the latest MRI machines and hospital operation theaters and everything, but if you don't have the right skilled doctors available, the right skilled technicians, paramedical staff available with you is all going to go in waste. So the staffing is extremely important. It's the man behind the machine who is more important than the machine. And hence, staffing is a great function one has to think of. And that's why we people are learning HR, human resource management. Whatever staff you have got, you need to train them periodically. Things are changing globally. Newer and newer technologies are coming. Medical science is changing very fast. So one has to have the regular continuous medical education for your doctors. Continuous paramedical staff also, they should have the continuous medical education for them also. The education should not only cover the medical aspect, paramedical aspect, it has to cover some of the administrative aspect, some of the soft skills also are required to be covered in your training education, and you need to develop your managers. Ultimately, only technical things are not enough. You have to manage the whole hospital, you have to manage people, the people have to manage the patients, relatives, mass media, everybody. And hence, one should be regularly trained and developed. Personal development should occur for everybody periodically. So training and development, performance appraisal already we have seen. Once you have got the right kind of manpower, so you have done manpower planning with the demand and supply, with the skills required, and you have thought about maintaining them, so accordingly you are going to give the right kind of salaries, perks, etc. Offer them the right kind of salaries and perks so that you get the right people. After doing that, once they have been appointed, what you need is you direct them properly how to work, what exactly is the aim and purpose of the hospital, what is our mission, what is our vision, where we want to reach over a long period. So one has to direct them in the right direction. That's where the management starts. And once they are there, you'll have to motivate them, inspire them, lead them. So for that you need the right kind of communication. Every human being needs to communicate with other. Imagine you are kept in a 10 by 10 cell or a room where there is no possibility of communication. Within 2 days you will go mad. Right from birth, the child wants to communicate to the mother that I am here. With any need, the child cries, and the mother is going to fulfill that need. So you can understand communication is very, very important, and in case of management, right from planning to controlling everywhere, communication is going to be important. And one has to think about the emotional aspect of people. People are very sensitive, and especially in hospital where people are coming, they are mentally disturbed many times. They are so much worried about their disease, disability, and hence one has to have the right kind of emotional quotient, emotional intelligence to take care of all that. And hence communication is very important in hospital. And then comes leadership. A leader is one who inspires others, who gets the work done from others in such a way that they feel that it's my work to work with such a great leader. So one has to lead them in the right direction so that they are doing the right thing all the time, and they go on continuously improving their work so that the name and fame of the hospital will go skyrocketing. And once you have got the people who have started working, of course, everybody may not be perfect. And some of them may not be having the right kind of attitude to work also. So you need controlling also. Now to control is what? First you should know what are your benchmarks, what are your standards, what is expected out of you, your staff. So you give them the right kind of objectives set for them they should know their job profile, they should know what is their responsibility, what is expected out of them. So it's a kind of management by objective. Once you have given that, you then observe actually what is the outcome of that. So performance standard given, and find out what is actually being done. Find out the difference and try to correct it and monitor it, evaluate it and further improve it. That's how the controlling is done. There are various tools of controlling: performance appraisal, management by objective. In financial control also it's very, very important. So cost cutting, budgeting, the balance sheet, all those things we'll learn when we learn about the financial controls also. So ultimately, when you want to manage the hospital, the managerial skills are also equally important. And it doesn't mean that the managerial skills should be acquired only by the top person, medical director or the medical superintendent. It is required by each and every person in the hospital who is working, because they are having their own department, having their own subordinates from whom they are supposed to get the work done. And ultimately the main purpose of the hospital, the vision of the hospital, the mission of the hospital has to be fulfilled. And the name and fame of the hospital should improve continuously, so that patients, by word of mouth, they are going to spread the awareness about your quality or patient care that you are doing, and that's how you are going to get more patients. Because frankly speaking, as per the MCI guidelines, we are not supposed to market our services. So let's understand the fire safety in hospital. Again, it's an engineering function which is very important, because as per the present guidelines also, nowadays we know that before the building is built up, whether it's any residential building or a hospital, ultimately you have to get the clearance from the fire department that you have got all the fire safety requirements fulfilled and complied with, then only you can start your functioning of the hospital. Why there are chances of fire in a hospital? There are multiple factors which can lead to fire in a hospital. Electrical equipments, huge number of electrical equipments are going to be there in a hospital, and there can be short circuit, there can be any failure, live wires are likely to be there, there can be some or the other problem of the fuse, and then a spark can be there and a fire can occur. Oxygen is very, very essential in hospital for patients' survival and for their better breathing requirement. Any hypoxia, due to many reasons, you need to continuously give them oxygen to these patients. So you should have oxygen pipeline for each and every bed practically, especially in ICU, in OT, etc., in emergency. Now oxygen is something which, when leaks, it is the fuel to the fire. Immediately the burning can occur and the fire hazard will be more. There are going to be flammable combustible products in the hospital in huge numbers, huge quantity. Cotton, dressing material, some of the solvents, multiple things are there which are flammable. Wood. So all these factors are responsible which can have fire hazard, stationary items. Now fire safety refers to precautions that are taken to prevent or reduce the likelihood of a fire that may result, what the fire can lead to, death of people. Recently you may have heard about a building in Andheri where there was a fire and one person died, one firefighter has died in that. It can lead to death due to the burns of the fire, or it can lead to death due to the suffocation, because all the oxygen is used up And due to no oxygen in the air, a person may die because of anoxia. Or there can be some other gases which are released due to fire. Some of the combustible materials may be releasing various poisonous gases, and due to inhalation of these gases also a person may die. So it can result into death. A person is running to save his own life if his clothes are catching fire. You can understand, there may be, he is running blindly at times because his life is at stake, and some of the obstructive materials may be there on the way and he can just fall, which can lead to multiple injuries. There are people who just jump from third floor down to get away from this fire hazard, and you can understand how much injury can occur. A person may die due to head injury also. So injuries, multiple fractures can occur, or there can be property damage. You must have heard about thousands and lakhs of number of cases of fire all over the world where huge property damage has occurred. Alert those in a structure to the presence of a fire. When you are looking after the fire safety, you have to alert those who are in the structure where there is a fire which has occurred. And one should be able to guide them how to come out of this situation in a better way. So better enable those threatened by a fire to survive. How they should, what they should do so that they will survive, or to reduce the damage caused by a fire accident, or whatever can occur due to fire accident, you should try to minimize it by your methods, so fire of your fire safety methods. Now, as far as the fire safety measures are concerned, first and foremost is, while constructing the building itself, you have to see to it that the materials you are using in construction of building are not flammable. If these materials you are using, whereby they themselves do not catch fire or they do not aggravate fire, naturally that's going to be a better thing. Structure that are already standing, or already you have got some buildings, now what next you can do to prevent fire in that. Now, whose responsibility it is for the fire safety? It is the board of hospital, board members. All board members are responsible for taking care of the fire safety. They have to ensure the implementation of fire safety precautions. There should be continuous development of policies and procedures to ensure that effective management of fire safety process is taken care of. That means you have got sufficient number of fire extinguishers and fire hose pipe, separate water lines for in case the fire occurs, the right kind of building material to use. Whenever some repairs are done, you have to see to it that whatever is not inflammable is used as far as possible. The storage of various material, one has to be very careful. So various procedures and policies has to be established and modified periodically to see to it that whatever best preventive and corrective measures we can take for fire safety, we should take. The partnership initiatives with other agencies also one has to take care of, so that in case we need some help, some skilled people in that area can come and help us. There should be compliance with all the legislations. There are various legislations which are giving us the legislations for taking care of fire. It can be Factories Act, it can be various Shops and Establishment Act. Everywhere there is some or the other provision for taking care of fire. So one has to comply with all the legislations. There should be fire code and standards for better health care of patients and all the people in the hospital. So these are the fire safety signs which one can have. The fire hydrant and hose reel, this is the fire hose, and one has to see to it that it is not damaged in any way. It is functional, proper water is going, and there are multiple fire extinguishers you should be having with the right chemical mixture and right kind of things, and everybody should be able to handle that easily, and proper guidelines should be given on that, and it should be maintained well. Regular servicing should be done, annual maintenance contract should be given. So these are some of the fire safety tips which will give us a broad idea how to take care of fire. Smoking prevention, no smoking should be allowed. The stacking of various solvents, one has to be very careful. It should be in an isolated place. There should be a separate color coding so that no people should be coming there as far as possible. Oxygen should be totally enclosed. One should not be having an access to that, and one has to maintain all the equipments very well, the pipeline, etc. Wherever there are flammable materials, the danger sign should be there. Now, what are the staffing of the people required for taking care of the fire safety? You should have executive director with special responsibility for fire. Since we told that it's the one of the board, the board of the hospital, the trustees of the hospital, the board of the board members of the hospital are the people who are responsible for taking care of the fire safety. If there are 8 to 10 board members, let's have one board member specifically maintained for who will take care of and responsibility and accountability for taking care of the fire safety. So he will be designated as executive director with special responsibility for fire. There should be executive directors, all of them also will be responsible, no doubt. Then fire and health safety manager, you should have one separately, fire and health safety management manager appointed, who is expert in fire management systems. You can have divisional boards where fire and health safety advisor can be there. Then there is local line manager who also will be responsible for his area, local fire warden, then risk management for health and safety committee. All these people, they should periodically meet and see to it that all the fire safety measures are in place. Whatever newer technologies are developing for fire safety, they should try to ask for to the management to buy those equipment. If they are better than what they are having, they should cover more and more area if required. Whatever additional areas are they are taking up, additional facilities they are taking up, they should design in such a way that fire safety is taken care of. So fire safety management responsibility starts right from CEO, Chief Executive Officer. There is a specialist fire safety advisor. There are medical directors of all departments also should be part of the fire safety committee, because they know some of the newer equipments they are buying, what are the hazards in that. They have got material safety data sheet. So they also should be well conversant with taking care of the fire safety, because they are managing, they are utilizing, and their subordinates are utilizing those equipments. Hospital managers, matron, line managers, and all hospital staff ultimately. Each and every staff of the hospital should have the responsibility of taking care of prevention of fire, because fire can occur anywhere in the hospital. There are multiple inflammable materials which are going to be there in a hospital, and with the slightest mistake, a person smoking and throwing the butt somewhere, there is some solvent, there is some spillage somewhere occurring while carrying the garbage, while carrying the patient. Somebody may trip, something may be there in his pocket, it comes out, and there are flammable materials anywhere, any fire can occur. So each and every staff should know about what are the various precautions one has to take in the hospital to prevent fire. So how you are going to implement, and what are the equipments required? There should be emergency access and egress separate for the fire. In case the fire occur, one should know from where to go. Fire exit should be separate from the regular entrance or exit. There should be fire doors available where they are specially designed. There should be fire lanes separately maintained, so that in case of fire, there is no other people, regular people going there, so that there is enough of space available for those to run away from fire and then get accumulated at a distant place. There should be automatic fire sprinklers available so that in case of the smoke coming out, there are alarms, there are smoke detectors, automatically the fire sprinkler will start. It will prevent a major fire. There should be pull stations, there should be smoke detectors. However, one should be careful about malicious and false alarms also, otherwise unnecessarily panic will be there. One should regularly maintain these equipments, do the mock drill to see whether they are functioning properly or not. Now, fire and safety management in hospitals, some more points we'll see. One is architect and layout planner. Right at the beginning, the architect should know what are the chances of fire and how to prevent it. So, sufficient number of hose pipes, a place for fire extinguishers, minimum inflammable materials should be used in their architect while constructing the building, the departments. As far as the electrical and engineering planner is concerned, he also, while doing it, he has to see to it that all best precautions should be taken to encase everything in a proper way where the flammability of materials will be reduced and the electric spark also should be minimized. Safety practices should be taken care of by all people and people should be regularly trained for such kind of awareness. Fire safety rules in the workplace should be mentioned in all their bulletins and all and displayed in prominent locations. They have to install and maintain proper smoke alarms all over and people should be aware about the building evacuation plan. People should be regularly given instructions about the fire safety precautions in case the fire occurs. So, in fact, in many of the organizations we are seeing in all of their meetings, in whichever room the meeting is conducted, they are giving us instructions at the beginning of the meeting that this is the room located here. On the right side at the beginning there is another fire exit available. On the left side or on the corner, this is another fire exit available. In case of fire, one should go from that exit only. One should not use the lift. One should go via staircases and then get collected at a particular place. So, awareness about the building evacuation plan should be given to each and every person and periodically they should be told about it